In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a carnival sideshow, and the barker introduced the strong man. The strong man took a lemon in his giant hand and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed until the lemon was absolutely pulverized and all of the juice was out of it. Then the barker said, "I will give $100 to anyone who can squeeze even one tiny drop of juice out of this lemon." A small, frail-looking man came out of the crowd, took the lemon in his small hand, and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, and sure enough, a drop of juice came out. The barker looked at the man and said, "Sir, you are obviously not a bodybuilder. How could you do that?" And the man said, "I'm a church treasurer. I do stuff like that all the time." Maybe you can see where I'm going with this. I'm about to say a bad word. It's a word people usually don't say in churches, at least not in public. It's the S word. Yes, you guessed it. The word is stewardship. Given the gospel reading for today, the parable of the talents, and given the time of year that it is, close to Thanksgiving, today seemed like the perfect day to designate as Stewardship Sunday. So today I'd like to delineate a bit what the Bible says and what the church teaches about Christian stewardship, and I'm calling it thanks living, a little bit of a play on words. That's why the Thanksgiving banner is up so early. But first, a few caveats. We often treat the subject of stewardship with contempt. That's understandable. There are many reasons for that. When people hear about TV evangelists living in palatial mansions and having private jets with the money that they squeeze out of gullible people, it scandalizes all churches. When and where I grew up, there were churches and pastors who were known because they seemed to care much more about what you gave than the state of your soul. Some churches also give the impression that those who give more money have more say in the church. And no doubt you have probably heard of incidences where there has been embezzlement and misappropriation of church funds in certain places. Those things should never be. And I confess that they've made me a little shy in talking about stewardship. I'm glad that I can say we have safeguards against such things. Our budget is voted on by our members. Everyone can know exactly what our payroll is. We have elected financial secretaries, a treasurer, and a stewardship board. They file monthly reports. Every penny that you give to our congregation can be accounted for. When we have a voters' meeting, every member gets one vote. It doesn't matter how much or how little they give. As a pastor, I've always chosen not to know what our members give. I wouldn't want anyone to think that somebody gets more or less of my attention based on what they contribute. In the church, we are all equal before God. One of the first things we need to say about stewardship is that it's not just about money. Stewardship is about our time, our talent, and our treasure. In Jesus' parable, the servants all received from their master a different number of talents. The talent referred to there was a sum of money. Scholars debate how much exactly it was. We know that it was a lot, maybe the equivalent of tens of thousands of dollars today. It's a happy coincidence that the word talent also means skills and abilities. In the parable, as in life, everyone gets varying amount of talents and different talents. God loves us all the same. We are all equal in the church, but it's not obvious, or it's obvious that we are all not exactly the same. Some people get some gifts and talents. Some people get other gifts and talents. In our church, we have and we need administrators, teachers, musicians, people with handyman skills, and others. What's important isn't the relative qualities and quantities of the talents. What is important is what we do with them and why. When we think deeply about it, what do we have that God did not give us? Nothing. All that we have are His gifts to us. We may feel that we have earned or deserve certain things, but who gave us the power and the opportunity to earn those things in the first place? God did. All that we say we have are really God's possessions, and we are just temporary managers of God's property. That's what stewards are, managers working for God. So why did God give you what you have? Because you're so cute and clever? Because you're His favorite? No. Whatever God has given you, He gave you to put to work for His kingdom. The things God gives you, He expects you to use to serve Him and others. Those to whom much is given, much is required. We give into proportion to what we have received. We give as we have been blessed. The question we as Christian stewards should ask isn't, how much of what I've earned do I have to give back to God? The right question is, how much of what God has given me do I dare keep for myself? Implicit in all this is that we don't ask people to give what they don't have. That would be illogical. It would be impossible. The master didn't expect the servant with two talents to earn as much on his investment as the servant with five. But he did expect the servant, even with only one talent, to put that one talent to work. Had the servant loved, trusted, and feared his master as he ought, he would have been bold and used that talent. We need to be bold in our stewardship of time, talents, and treasures for our Lord and Master as well. As we do that, we need to be ever mindful of the fact that stewardship is a joyful response. It's a loving response to what God has already done for us. We don't buy God's favors. We can't buy salvation. There is no entrance fee to get into heaven. Forgiveness is free. It's not for sale. Not selling forgiveness was the whole point of the Reformation. Think about John 3:16 for a moment. God loved the world so much, He did what? He gave. He gave His only Son for our salvation. That was the greatest gift ever. Likewise, our giving is done out of love, out of gratitude, out of appreciation for God's gift of Jesus to us. No matter how much we give, we cannot outgive God. He always gives more. As an old hymn says, it's not all that we owe to Jesus, it is something more than all. Living that out day to day is what I'm talking about when I say thanksgiving. It's putting our thankfulness into action for God and for all. So, how do we operationalize that? How do we put that into practice? How can we be about thanksgiving? In the bulletin today, available here in the church for the next several weeks, is what we're calling a ministry menu. The ministry menu has different offices, tasks, positions around the congregation where help is needed. We're looking for volunteers. So we are asking everyone to fill out a ministry menu, even if you are already serving in one of those ministries, so that we can have a list of who is interested and skilled and available for things around the church that need to be done. We would be grateful to know what your grateful response to God's grace will be when it comes to sharing your talents. Be bold and drop them in the offering baskets or the church office. Earlier in the sermon, I said that stewardship is not only about money, and it's not, but managing our finances is a big part of stewardship. Luther once said something about a person's purse being the last part of an individual to being converted to Christianity. Many times the question has been asked, if Christianity was illegal, could your bank account be used as evidence against you? Would your checkbook show that you support the cause of the gospel? Only you can answer that. There are no membership dues to be part of the church. We do not operate on a fee-for-services basis, and we can't tax your income the way that the government does. So another question is often asked, how much should I give to the church? Again, that's between you and God. That's not for me or for any human being to judge. The Bible, God's word, does give us some guidelines, though, for thanksgiving. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded to give a tithe, 10% of their income off the top, to the work of God. Christ fulfilled all of those ceremonial laws of the Old Covenant, so we are not required to tithe, but we look at it as a guideline, as a goal. In the New Testament, St. Paul tells us to set aside a part of our earnings each week for the mission of the church. And again, this is to be our first fruits off the top, given as a joyful priority, not something that comes out of our leftovers and from compulsion. In stewardship, there is no quid pro quo. God does not make a bargain with us that if we give him something, he will give us something else in return. It's all God's anyway. But God does tell us to pray for daily bread. That is, to ask him to meet all of our physical and spiritual needs one day at a time. He doesn't promise us overflowing storehouses and unlimited resources. If we had those, we might be trusted to tempt in ourselves and not in him. But he does tell us that those who do trust in him will be taken care of. On December 13th, we'll be having a voters' meeting to elect congregational officers and adopt the budget for 2021. That meeting will be stewardship in real action. By Zoom, I attended a stewardship presentation as part of the Church Workers Virtual Conference in October. The presenter challenged us, as we look at budgets, not to ask, how much money can we expect and what can we do with it, but to ask instead, what is our mission and what resources do we need to accomplish it? God is calling us to mission and ministry in this place. We have the opportunity to serve his people and to extend his kingdom here. I have some thoughts about that that I'll share with you at another time. All the money and resources that we need, though, to do those things are already here. The challenge is getting them from our pockets into the church treasury. It sure would be nice not to have to squeeze that lemon so hard. if we live out our thankfulness for all that God has done for us, if we do thanksgiving, so many good and godly things can happen here. In fact, many already are, and there can even be more. So thanks be to God, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.